Dubai Aquarium and Underwater Zoo is to breed sand sharks. Paul Hamilton is the general manager and the curator of Dubai Aquarium and Underwater Zoo. Joins us on the line. Paul, it's good to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
So look, can we just clear something up, first of all, the sand shark. This is also the grey nurse shark, is that right?
Yeah, it's called the sand tiger shark in South Africa and in the USA. But in Australia, they like to do things differently, so they called it the grey nurse shark, but essentially it's the same species.
Okay, so this is the shark that we see at Dubai Mall, at Dubai Aquarium. That's the one that you see cruising around the tank there.
Correct, yeah. The largest group of sharks that we have here is actually, in fact, the largest group of sand tigers in the world. That is why we are looking to them as the best group in order to conduct this research.
The thing with sharks, Paul, is they get a bad rap, don't they? And they look menacing as they cruise around the tank. They have to keep moving. I'm aware of that. But this, we should point out, is a docile creature. This is not the fearsome shark that we've been led to believe is in the sea from the movies.
Yeah, that's correct. If you were to look at the sand tiger shark, it looks the part. It looks like a monster that would chase you around in the dark. If you actually just study the morphology of the shark, you'll start to realize that they actually have no equipment to deal with a person, and they're very seldom responsible for any negative interactions with people. Unfortunately, they went through a period of time where if there was an incident on the beach and they were spotted nearby, they were quite quickly blamed. So they are actually a harmless species and certainly not responsible for any unprovoked attack.
And, of course, this is a hang-up from movies like Jaws and the subsequent sequels, other undersea exploits that we've seen on screen, and the fact that they are essentially prehistoric animals that come from dinosaur ages, and they look fearsome.
Yeah, look, they have the bright red gums and the big long white teeth, and I think that's probably a good place to start for a horror movie, but the nature of the animal is quite different to what is portrayed in Hollywood, and that's one thing that we really try to get across to our customers.
It's really important to understand that, isn't it, to make that distinction, because this is an animal which is now endangered. I've been reading, and what you're doing at Dubai Aquarium and Underwater Zoo is important, not just because obviously sharks are an attraction for people at the mall, we understand that, but there are estimates that these beasts, sand sharks, could disappear in as little as 30 years, less than a lifetime.
Yeah, look, that's aimed at the Australian population. So the Australian population is in a critical situation. And essentially, despite all the efforts that Australia is making with marine reserves and protected areas, it's really not enough just to tip the balance back in their favour. And that's why we're working on a new program that's really your last card. This is the card you play when you feel that the animal cannot come back on its own in the wild. And so, yeah, that's the intent of the project.
Okay, so what's going to happen here in Dubai is a partnership with Sea Life in Melbourne, isn't it? The aim is to sustain the population of the sand tiger shark, the grey nurse shark. What is it? Just run me through exactly what the program, if you like, entails.
Normally when a species is in a critical situation, as done with a lot of the rhino and the other land animals that are very obvious to us because they're easy for us to see, even as a child you can come across these animals in zoos. Mm. Artificial insemination was used in these species a long time ago, certainly to sustain the zoo populations or the insurance populations that are kept in captivity. And then there's quite a lot of projects where the AI is actually being used in the wild and for reintroduction of animals to the wild. Now, sharks are getting their help very late in the game. We have a lot of empathy for other animals. The panda really pulls on your heartstrings and people are, you know, throwing time and money at saving them. But the sharks, they've really been left to deplete for a little too long, and their situation is quite desperate. And so we have a two-pronged approach. We definitely want to raise awareness for the situation of not sand tiger sharks alone, but, you know, sharks in general. And at the same time, we're trying to gear up with the technology to step in with that last card if it ever happens. So if we have a species that's on the brink of extinction, which, you know, there's quite a number of species that are listed as potentials, we can step in with that kind of technology just to maintain a population steady until other plans can be developed. So yeah, that's the intent of the project.
It's really important because there's been some success in assisted reproduction programs like this before. Dolphins, cheetahs, the panda, as you mentioned there. But this is a first, isn't it? Because it's, let me see if I get this right, Paul, a viviparous shark species. It's the first time it's happened in a species like this, one that gives birth to pups. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the science was developed over the last 10 years back in Melbourne. And essentially, there was a success around about 1.5, 2 years ago where sperm collected from a shark on one side of Australia was then transported to the other side of Australia, and then an insemination event took place, and the subsequent offspring was an egg. So this type of shark was an egg-laying shark, and they managed to get the young. Now, that was a success. It was the first shark AI pup. However, it's not the target species. The egg-laying sharks are not the animals we're most concerned about. It's the live bearing sharks, which essentially sand tigers are one of them. Now, sand tigers further complicate things for us in that they have a really unique strategy to breed. Essentially, what happens is mum, the female shark, will have a bunch of fertilized eggs and two uterus. And what she's doing is she's starting a little Hunger Games, if you like, in either uterus. And the first embryos to develop their jaws, and they invest very quickly into teeth. You imagine these little tadpoles with jaws. Mm. Essentially, the first ones to develop jaws are the ones that start consuming all their brothers and sisters. And once they have managed to consume all other shark embryos in that uterus, then they feed on eggs produced by the mother until they're big, healthy, strong animals, and then they are born alive. Now, there's two uterus, so there's two pups and a birthing event. Now, the mother can only do this once every 2 years. So, essentially, their population doubling time is very, very long, and that's why the sand tiger sharks become a little more complicated than other species.
Now, to do this, you've got a cryopreservation lab set up, haven't you?
Yeah, now, the idea behind setting up a cryopreservation lab, there's a couple of aspects to it. One is we can take sperm from a male shark. We can take his genetics to the bank, and we can bank it. We'll make a deposit, and essentially it can sit there for as long as we need it to sit there. It could sit there for 50, 100 years. It could sit there beyond, you know, the point of extinction in the wild. And when we need that genetics, we can then defrost it and essentially, in simple terms, bring it back to life. You get the motility back. It's live sperm again, and you can inseminate a female and get a pregnancy. And that'll be a perfectly normal pup. This is important because, one, we can create an insurance bank of genetics, and two, we can now transport genetics around the world. So it's very hard to pick up a male shark and deliver him to a female shark somewhere else in the world, the way they do with, you know, a lot of other land species. Mm. So essentially what we can do is just move the genetics around, just move the sperm around, and wherever the females are in the world, insemination processes can take place.
So this is a world first in terms of as a gene bank?
For sharks, yeah. Yeah, this will be the first time that people have worked on this sort of thing for sharks. I think scientists are storing the genetics of certain animals in a variety of ways around the world. But yeah, like you said, this is the first time where the focus has been taken to sharks. And it seems suitable that an aquarium would work on this, seeing that the aquariums are the most developed in captive husbandry. And, you know, quite a number of cases, endangered species have got to a point in the wild where they call on the expertise of zoos or aquariums to step in and give the husbandry ideas or the husbandry knowledge to the wild experts so that they can really, you know, take care and cherish the last few out in the wild.
And if the need occurs, you can build a whole new, if you like, population of sand, tiger, great nurse sharks in the future from